हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां स्वगणपति हवामहे कविं कवीनां उपमश्रवस्तम तन्नो दुर्गे प्रचोदयात् ओम शांति 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 ओम शन्नो मित्र शंवरुणः शन्नो भवत्वरीयमा शन्न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शन्नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतो तद्वक्तारमवतो अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
सो वी आर सीइंग द 11th अनुवाकः
वेदमनोच्याचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति वेदमनोच्याचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति
ऑल उदात्त स्वरस्
वेदमनोच्याचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति वेदमनोच्याचार्योऽन्ते वासिनमनुशास्ति सत्यं वद
सत्यं वद
धर्मं चर
धर्मं चर
स्वाध्यायान् मा प्रमदः
स्वाध्यायान्
मा प्रमदः आचार्याय प्रियं धनमाहृत्य
आचार्याय
प्रियं धनमाहृत्य प्रजातन्तुं मा व्यवच्छेत्सीः प्रजातन्तुं मा व्यवच्छेत्सीः सत्यान्न प्रमदितव्यम्
सत्यान्न
प्रमदितव्यम् धर्मान्न प्रमदितव्यम्
धर्मान्न
प्रमदितव्यम् कुशलान्न प्रमदितव्यम्
कुशलान्न
प्रमदितव्यम् भूत्येन प्रमदितव्यम्
भूत्येन
प्रमदितव्यम् स्वाध्याय प्रवचनाभ्याम् न प्रमदितव्यम्
स्वाध्याय प्रवचनाभ्याम् न प्रमदितव्यम्
देवपितृकार्याभ्याम् न प्रमदितव्यम् देवपितृकार्याभ्याम् न प्रमदितव्यम् मातृदेवो भव
मातृदेवो भव
पितृदेवो भव
पितृदेवो भव
आचार्य देवो भव
आचार्य देवो भव
अतिथि देवो भव
अतिथि देवो भव
यान्यनवद्यानि कर्माणि
यान्यनवद्यानि
कर्माणि तानि सेवितव्यानि
तानि
सेवितव्यानि नो इतराणि
नो इतराणि
यान्यस्माकग् सुचरित Yanyasmakagum sucharitani.
Yanyasmakagum sucharitani.
Yanyasmakagum sucharitani.
Yanyasmakagum sucharitani.
Tanitvayopasyani.
Tanitvayopasyani.
No itarani.
No itarani.
As I said earlier, this Anuvakaha presents the Dharma Shastram, the content of the Dharma Shastram contained in the Karma Kanda of the Veda or the Purva Bhagaha of the Veda is presented in a nutshell in this whole Anuvaka. So what is that which is contained in Dharma Shastram? Told you, the know-how of rituals, performance of rituals. And what is a ritual? Ritual is performing a ritual, is a form of Vedic form of worship. Performing a fire ritual is a Vedic form of worship. And you know the significance of worship. I don't need to repeat it. But still I tell you here. Worship is, what is worship? You should remember here. Worship is a symbolic act of offering. Because worship is an act of offering. And offering anything to Bhagavan is not possible. It is not there. Because everything is Bhagavan, and how can there be any offering? Therefore, offering is not possible. Therefore, worship is not a real act of offering, but still it is a symbolic act of offering. And through this act of offering, something subtle is revealed. What is something, what is that which is revealed, something subtle is expressed through the symbolic act of offering? Gratitude is revealed, expressed. Gratefulness is revealed, expressed. And to whom gratefulness is revealed, gratitude is revealed, gratefulness is revealed to Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, the Lord. And how it is expressed? Gratefulness is expressed through Bhagavan in the form of Bhagavan manifest as the natural phenomena. And all those phenomena which contribute for our well-being, which contribute for our, for all that we need to live here in this world. The food, shelter, the clothing, all that we need, we are not creating here. We have to understand, it's a very important thing. It is not part of this lesson, but still I am teaching you again. Because I had to talk about three things in this Dharma Shastra subject matter. And I am talking about the karma. And the karma prescribed in the Dharma Shastra is what? Performance of ritual. Okay? That I won't tell you here. And the performance of ritual is a Vedic form of worship. And what is worship, you should remember here. So to express the gratitude, you know, this is an act of offering. So here, and then this, all the phenomena, I'm repeating it because I don't need to talk to you about it again. Because all of you should know very clearly what is worship. It's the 10th time, 100th time I'm repeating. Doesn't matter, I'm repeating it. Because any other form of worship which is not Vedic, but any form of worship is based on the significance of the Vedic form of worship. That is why I want to understand. So all these natural phenomena contribute abundantly for our well-being. They fulfill all our needs. Means, when I say, whatever we are enjoying while living this life, whatever we need for our life, we are not creating, producing. Nothing is created newly. Nothing is produced newly. We are just taking what is available and making use of whatever is available. We find out what is. We are blessed with the buddhi shakti. First of all, we are blessed with the intelligence. We are blessed with the intelligence. We are blessed with the knowledge. We are blessed with the capacity to know what is, discover what is. So discovering what is science. Once you have discovered, found out what is available, and you also have the buddhi shakti to make, how can I make use of it to live my life, to make my life comfortable? How can I make use of whatever is to make my life comfortable? So that capacity to know, capacity to convert whatever is available to make your life comfortable, also what now? This technology. The buddhi is given to you. First of all, buddhi is given. Do you create your buddhi? So I want to understand. You need not create your intelligence. The buddhi shakti, human mind is blessed with abundance of intelligence. You know, the power of intellection to discover what is, to make use of what is. And with that buddhi shakti, you discover and you make use of whatever is. That is why you stitch your clothes, but you are not creating the raw material needed for manufacturing your clothing. You can build a house, you are not creating the raw material needed for the house. You are not creating your soil, you are not creating your sand, you are not creating, okay, you are cement, you are creating still again what? You are taking raw material from the nature only. Everything you are taking from the nature, nothing is created. We are given. We are blessed with all that we need. I think we are not creating anything. It's a very subtle lesson. So the food, the clothing, the shelter, the food again, we are cooking, we are eating, but we are not really producing, creating our own food. The plants, you are not creating available. The fire, you are not creating, it's available. You make use of what is. So you, in fact, who contribute? Everything is the contribution. All that we enjoy here is contribution. So that's why we say, in our language we can say, we are at the mercy of Bhagavan's bhiksha. And once you think about it, we cannot create even one grain of food, one leaf, anything. Everything is given. We only take what is, and we cook and we eat. Therefore, you feel humble and polite, and you feel grateful. Humility becomes gratefulness, and that gratefulness you want to express. How? Through this symbolic act of offering. And to whom? To all the devatas. All the phenomena. Every phenomenon is Bhagavan, devata. And when you express your gratitude, no phenomenon acknowledges, recognizes your giving. You may think. But this act, this being a will-involved action, this act of offering being a will-involved action, your acknowledgement being there, your acknowledgement is there, your recognition of the contribution is there. Therefore, when you offer it also, being this act of offering, being a will-involved action, this action produces the phalam. Your will-involved karma produces the phalam. That's why worship is always effective. You may think, I'm offering it to Agni, I'm offering it to, you know, the sun, I'm offering it to, I'm worshipping sun means I offer oblations to the sun. I mean, I worship the sun. To this worship, does sun recognize my offering? Does sun know that I'm worshipping or not? You may think, doesn't matter. But still your will-involved karma produces phalam. Okay? And this worship makes your mind sensitive and alert. No, it widens. It contributes for expansion of your mind, because gratitude itself is what it contributes for expansion of mind. Thereby, what happens? That's why Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse. This devataha, parasparam bhavayantaha, shreya paramavapsyatha. May you propitiate devatas. May devatas propitiate you in return. Thereby, propitiating mutually, may you uplift yourself, may you live, attain the absolute end called moksha. It is said there. That means what? This acknowledgement of the devatas, expressing our acknowledgement of contribution of devatas through this act of offering, being an action, it blesses you with what? Abundance of prosperity. That is why for being prosperous, for prosperity, the worship in the form of performance of ritual is the means. Okay? Therefore, karmani. And then, so what the mantras should be chanted, how the mantra should be chanted, and which mantra should be chanted, and what ingredients should be offered, what havis should be offered, how, which devata should be offered for a given end. Even though everything is Ishvara, for a given result, which devata should be invoked for which thing. Even though worship is a karma, thereby it is time bound in nature. Thereby the karma phalam, the fruit of worship also is time bound. It is not moksha, but still for artha kama pursuits, worship serves as a means. And not only that, worship also is for what? For antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam, for expansion of mind, for sharpness of intellect. It contributes, and also to invoke Bhagavan's grace. It helps, and worship also involves what now? Includes prayer. So, when you express your gratitude, you also employ a prayer. Oh Lord, thank you very much for all that you have given, and let me always, let me get always. Whatever I've been getting, let me be getting all the time. The prayer also is employed there. Therefore, this is karma. Okay? Like that, how many karmas are there, rituals are there? I told you earlier, most voluminous portion of the Veda is Veda consists of Dharma Shastra only. Therefore, performance of rituals come under Dharma Shastram, which is karma. And second topic I told you, so bhavanaha, the attitude. Suppose, what sort of attitude one should have towards the very life, towards different beings, towards different people, attitude towards parents, attitude towards children, attitude towards the fellow beings, attitude towards non-living things, attitude towards living other plants, etc. Even attitude towards everything in life. you know, this attitude, and that is also bhavana, we say, is also discussed here, you say, this Dharma Shastra. And the third thing is values. You know, the universal values, you can say ethics. So these are the three aspects which are widely discussed in Dharma Shastram, which forms part of the first part of the most voluminous first part of the Veda. Okay. And that Dharma Shastram alone is given here in a nutshell. Okay. And to understand, see, it is easy for one to live a life of values, to live a disciplined life, to follow disciplines in life. Once a person understands the importance of following disciplines and the value of values, one can make deliberate effort to live a life of values, to follow disciplines, if he knows the value of values and the importance of following disciplines. For which, to know the value of values, to know the importance of disciplines, thereby to be able to make effort to live a life of values and follow disciplines, one should study the Shastram. One should know the end, ultimate end. One should know the means to accomplish the end. And also one should know all these things, for which Shastra Adhyayanam is very, very important. Study of the scripture is very important. Therefore, this Upanishad, this particular Anuvaka, begins with the emphasis of the study of the scriptures. And as I told you, study of the scriptures again involves two stages. First stage is what? Have I told you already, earlier, last class? Anyway, first stage of Brahmacharya Ashrama is what now? First stage of the study of the scriptures is only what? Memorizing the whole Veda Shastram by learning the chanting. Chanting itself is for memorizing the whole Veda. Okay? And why they had to memorize the whole textbook from the teacher's head? It has to go to the student's head. Therefore, later on, when the teacher starts explaining the Veda mantras, he can turn the pages in his mind itself to follow the textbook. Now we all have the textbook, follow. Where is the mantra? Like that, the student, those days there's no printing press or book or manuscript, nothing. They have to, as the teacher explains every line, and he should be able to follow the text. And where is the textbook? Mind. So how should the textbook go to the mind? Just, it should be in the memory. Kantasthi karanam. Okay? And to memorize, what is the best thing? Learn the chanting. That is swaras. Understand? Therefore, that learning to chant properly, correctly, thereby having the whole text memorized in the mind from the teacher is called what? Adhyayanam. Adhyayanam. Okay, so for the here, and after memorizing the whole text by learning the chanting from the teacher, then this teacher starts unfolding the meanings of the mantras, isn't it? It's learning to the in studying the meaning of the mantras is called what? Mimamsa. So the here the teacher first line begins. Vedamanuchacharyonte vasina manushasti. So Vedam anuchya acharyaha ante vasinam anushasti. Vedam anuchya, having taught the chanting of the Vedas, having helped the student memorize the Vedic text thoroughly through chanting, teaching chanting, thereafter the teacher starts what now? Anushasti. He teaches the meanings of the mantras. Anushasti. Teaches the mantra. Anushasti. And what does he say? He teaches the dharma. Mainly now he teaches the dharma shastram. See, when as a brahmachari, young age, he can understand the means and the end, but still he does not need to go for Brahma Aikya, you know, Brahma Ish, Brahma, Jiva Brahma Aikya Vicharaha is not necessary for a student. Jiva Brahma Aikya Swarupa, Swarupa Aikya Vicharaha, the enquiry into the nature of the oneness of the truth of Jiva and Ishvara, that is not needed when as a young boy. He can know the end, he can know the means, he can know the value of disciplines, value of values, everything, but still what now? He has yet to live his life. Living his life means what? He has to become mentally prepared for the assimilation of that vision, oneness of the truth. No, the whole life is, the Vedic way of life itself is designed for preparing the mind for this vision, preparing the mind for old age. Satyam. That means in order to become ready for assimilating that vision, and one has to, you know, the readiness will come only if a person strictly lives the Dharma Shastram, strictly follows the teaching of the Dharma Shastram. That's the only way we can effortlessly become ready for the vision. That is why, actually, youngsters, this, as a student, one should definitely understand, study Dharma Shastram. You may not need, you may think we're all too old, we don't need that, all those things. But still, it's very important to understand the how this the Veda Shastram presents. It's very important to study Dharma Shastram, to understand and to implement also. Isn't it? Knowledge of Dharma Shastram itself will not be useful. Knowledge of Dharma Shastram will become effective, productive, isn't it? Only when it is implemented in life. So know the rituals, perform the rituals, then you have the fruit, benefit. Know the values, know the attitudes, then inculcate the attitudes and follow values, then there is benefit, isn't it? Knowledge of values is not enough, but knowledge of values implemented in day-to-day life becomes fruitful. Whereas Vedanta Shastram, the Moksha Shastram, Jnana Kanda, subject matter of Jnana Kandam, nothing to be implemented. Veda, there's no practical Vedanta. Vedanta need not be practiced. Okay, Veda Anta means there is only, you need to know the truth. Knowledge of the truth itself is Moksha, end. Nothing to be implemented, practiced. Whereas Dharma Shastram, you have to know, understand, study, understand, know, then also live what you have understood. Isn't it? Therefore, the teacher now, he teaches here, Vedam Anucha Antevasinam. Antevasi is a student, resident student is called Antevasi. Antevasinam Anushasti. He teaches this. That's why first he teaches Dharma Shastram. Okay, he teaches the meanings of the mantras. I mean, the student has what now? He analyzes the meanings of the mantras with the student, Anushasti. He teaches Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. So may you speak the truth. So by teaching is one value of speaking the truth, he involves what now? He invites all other values are taught. Okay, Satyam Vada, because truthfulness in speech, you know, alone makes one an integrated personality. How the speech must be in alignment with the thought, and action must be in alignment with the thought and speech, word. Therefore, the thought, word and deed must be in alignment. Only then one can be said to be, what now, an integrated personality. And for that, let truthfulness in speech isn't it? So it's very important value, because later on, to know the truth of everything, for the mind to be ready, there must be truthfulness, must be there in speech. Therefore he says, Satyam Vada, Satyam Vada. Again, the Satya Bhashanam, this truthfulness in speech, also what now? Always avoids the most important value of Himsa. Himsa means hurting. And then our being untruthful really results in hurt. For being truthful is what now actually avoids the hurting. Isn't it? Truthfulness also, when you speak the truth, you need not speak all the truth you know. All the truths you need know, you need not speak, but whatever you speak must be the truth. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat. Okay, but apriyam, satyancha apriyam na bruyat. Even what you speak is the truth. If it is unpleasant, it's going to hurt other person's feelings, it's going to be, make other person unhappy, and don't speak out. Speak it out. Therefore, satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat, satyam apriyam. Asatyancha, isn't it? Then, even the pleasing also, don't tell a lie, isn't it? Just for the sake of pleasing other person, you not tell a lie also. But you see, what you speak is the truth, isn't it? Satyam vada, satyam vada, dharmanchara, dharmanchara. So dharmanchara means what now? May you live a life of dharma, means may you be ethical, may you be worshipful. Understand now? See, Dharma Shastram emphasizes the importance of one being religious and one being ethical. Please understand, being religious means doesn't mean that being fanatic. Being religious means being worshipful and being prayerful. Being religious means what? Being worshipful is being religious. Is it clear now? So therefore, this dharmanchara, the second sentence, emphasizes being worshipful and being ethical. May you live a life of values. May you, be religious in the sense, may you be worshipful. Thereby, may you live in tune with Ishvara, the universal natural law and order. Isn't it? Living in harmony with universal law and order, the Ishvara, is an important thing for one to have harmony with oneself, and also for contributing the harmony to the world, peace to the world. One's life must be in harmony with universal law and order. And to have one's life in tune with Ishvara, the order, in fact, one has to avoid rubbing against the order. The two things, one has to avoid life, isn't it, which rubs against the universal law and order. And to avoid a life which rubs against the order, one has to live the life in harmony with the order, for which the only way is one has to be worshipful, prayerful and ethical. So being worshipful and prayerful can be said to be what? Being religious. And then being ethical. Okay, dharmanchara, dharmanchara. So the two lines which you have already seen. Swadhyaya anma pramadaha, swadhyaya anma pramadaha. So may you not neglect, swadhyayanam, swadhyayaha. May not give up the study of scriptures. Even if you finished studying something, you have to be studying always, continuously. See, swadhyayaha should be done continuously, constantly, because this study of the scriptures Continuous study of scriptures is always a must for one to understand the subject matter, to retain subject matter in order not to forget the subject matter. How long should I remember? How long should I retain? Until it becomes saturated in you, until it becomes assimilated, you have to retain. In order to retain, you should not forget. In order not to forget, you should always be studying. Repeatedly you should be doing swadhyayanam. Swadhyaya anma pramadaha. Swadhyaya anma pramadaha. Okay, next. Acharyaya priyam dhanamahritya.
Acharyaya priyam dhanam aharitya.
So acharyaya priyam dhanam is aharati. And after one finishes one's studies with the teacher, when he leaves the gurukulam and he is ready for entering into the householder's life, grihasthashrama, before he enters into the grihasthashrama life, quickly he can exhibit his knowledge to the philanthropists or kings those days, okay, or other the rich contributors. Thereby he can get some gift or the money and he can give it to the teacher. Acharyaya priyam dhanam. Whatever is this teacher does not expect, but teacher does not demand, should not demand, and the teacher in fact should be happy with whatever the student gives. But still he says, what, no, what is said here, you know, whatever is desirable for the teacher, may you bring the dakshina and give it to the teacher. For what? The teacher has given the complete free education throughout his stay in the gurukulam, and when he leaves the gurukulam and goes out, the teacher should be able to provide the same education for the following next set of students also, batch of students, for which, for the maintenance of the continuous maintenance of the gurukulam and for this imparting of knowledge, the student also, what now, contributes something in return. For acharyaya priyam dhanam ahritya. Thereafter, immediately get married. Prajatantum avyavachetsihi. Prajatantum avyavachetsihi. So may you get married and have children so that the lineage of family does not get broken. Okay, the family lineage. Ma vyavach, may you not break the chain of the family lineage. Not break it. Ma vyavachetsihi. I don't want to go into details of that. It's under simple. Okay. Satya. Again he repeats. See, some values are again emphasized. Satyanna pramaditavyam. Satyanna pramaditavyam. May you not neglect, you know, this truth of speech, truthfulness in speech. May you follow the value of truthfulness in speech. I said it's called bhave prayoga, the impersonal voice. In Sanskrit, we have active voice, passive voice, and impersonal voice. It means you can convert even the intransitive verbs into some voice, passive, not a passive voice. So it's called impersonal voice. Okay, may it not be ignored. Satyanna pramaditavyam. Satyanna pramaditavyam. So may truthfulness, no, be not ignored, neglected. May truthful, the value of truthfulness be followed. May you speak the truth. Let there not be any indifference in terms of speech, in truthfulness in speech. Therefore,
சத்யான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம் சத்யான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம் தர்மான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம் தர்மான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம்
சி தர்மான்ன பிரமதி நா பிரமதிதவ்யம் சி திஸ் தவ்யர் இஸ் அன் அஃபிக்ஸ் விச் இஸ் கால் பொட்டன்ஷியல் பாசிவ் the participle in a sense it emphasizes like must not be given up should not be given up means what like that ignored neglected to say that you know the must to say must you use a tavyar affix so dharmaanna pramaditavyam so may you not neglect dharma dharma means what now it means everything the word dharma means may you be religious may you be worshipful may you be prayerful may you follow life of values may you live a life of values may you follow values may you be ethical and may you do your duties also isn't it? may you not neglect your duties may you not you should know what your duties are how to know what my duties are in keeping with age in keeping with your ashrama which ashrama am I you get going and entering into grihastha ashrama in every ashrama duties may vary in keeping with the ashrama you should know your duties and you should do your duties also okay it's not possible for one at the age of 70 and 80 to worry about the son who is already 40 okay it's not necessary but when he is very young and then is natural when he needs to the nappy to be changed and all that's a different thing isn't it and okay there's age also is unnecessary sometimes attachment is a problem therefore doing one's duties with the concern is different from getting emotionally entangled and being attached and you know worrying okay worrying about the children getting attached to them no and also making their lives miserable isn't it not giving them enough freedom also is a wrong thing at the same time completely ignoring a duty also is what now wrong thing it is very important for one to do the needful with the concern isn't it doing with the concern means what doing the needful with the concern for your the children and family means what you are not dependent on the family or children or anything for your moksha or happiness because moksha you cannot attain moksha is your own swarupam if you are dependent on them for your happiness then you are that is attachment if you are not dependent on them for happiness but still you do the needful as a duty that is expression of your concern we should not mistake the concern for attachment for concern okay should know so here may you do your duties in keeping with the what now in different ashramas in keeping with the ashrama in keeping with the age in keeping with the needs this is a timely needs and may you do your duties may you be worshipful prayerful may you be ethical and may you have proper attitude towards everything தர்மான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம் தர்மான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம் குஷலான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம் குஷலான்ன பிரமதிதவ்யம் சோ குஷலாத் ந பிரமதிதவ்யம் குஷலம் மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் வெல் பீயிங் ஹூஸ் வெல் பீயிங் மே யூ நாட் இக்னோர் யுவர் வெல்ஃபேர் may you not neglect your well being what which well being kushalat see people always do for other things they forget their self negligence is the worst thing nothing should be done at the cost of one's well being see Veda is very be intelligently selfish in the name of selflessness don't be foolishly selfish name of selflessness don't be foolishly selfish may you be intelligently selfish okay if you do if you do wrong things, if you go against dharma for your pleasures and for your arthakama accomplishments, then you are foolishly selfish. Okay? If you know, for my happiness is my swarupam, already my swarupam, it is limitlessness, it is fullness, I cannot accomplish it by any karma, it only by knowledge I had to take ownership of my swarupam. Is it knowledge alone will help me, ascertained knowledge alone will help me take ownership of my swarupam which is already there. For which I need to become mentally ready, and for readiness I need to live a life of dharma. Knowing this value of dharma and live a life of dharma, isn't it? Then doing your duties, then you are intelligently selfish. You have to know the difference. Understand? Therefore, kushalat na pramaditavya means one should never forget one's moksha. Kushalat means one should not neglect one's well-being, means one should remember my moksha is important, my discovery of freedom is important, my accomplished attainment of knowledge, self-knowledge is important, my becoming mentally pure and steady is very important. Isn't it? Therefore, you can do anything for the world, no problem. But at the same time, see that you always, your moksha should be end. Your knowledge must be the end. Your antakarna shuddhi and aishchalya must be the end. Isn't it? You have to take care of your emotional well-being. It's very important. Sometimes you get entangled with the world or other things, other people emotionally. And all your actions are centered on what? They're based on keeping others pleased. Because your pleasure is in making other person pleased, keeping other person pleased. And then all your actions become what now? All that you do, all the time, you're worried about keeping other person's pleased. In the bargain, you neglect yourself. Self-negligence will lead to, I tell you, disaster. Self-negligence will lead to frustration, okay, and a big emotional shock. That's why never ever neglect your well-being, emotional, physical well-being. You have to give as much importance to your health, as much importance as you give to others' well-being also. Sometimes ulta, you know. I take you only important my well-being, not to others' well-being, means you are foolishly selfish. You are intelligently selfish means all actions be in conformity with dharma. You are effortlessly contributing for others' well-being. You take care of yourself also. That's why mantra says, kushalanna pramaditavyam, kushalanna pramaditavyam, bhutyaina pramaditavyam, bhutyaina pramaditavyam. So bhutihi means wealth. Bhutyaina pramaditavyam, may you not ignore, neglect the pursuit of wealth. Shastram, may you earn money, may you make money, may you pursue wealth. All of us are very happy now. Nobody, Bhagavan, Shastram relieves you of the guilt. Who said money? That money is Lakshmi for us, Mahalakshmi. So, bhutyai na pramaditavyam. Because in Grihastashrama, I tell you, the brahmachari cannot have bank balance. Sannyasi cannot have bank account. Okay? And vanaprasthi also is not earning. Therefore, all the three people of all other three ashramas are dependent on grihasthashrami. Your grihasthashrami should support himself, should contribute for others also. Therefore, grihasthashrami should have what now? Money. Therefore, there's no, the Shastram teaches, therefore you should have money. Therefore, may you not, when you are young, don't remain lazy and idle. Think, use your buddhi, do something for earning one's livelihood, and not only for your own livelihood, you need money for supporting the other people of other ashramis who are also part of the society. And not only that, and then even to live, see, dharmam chara means even to be worshipful, isn't it? Worship in performance of ritual means expenditure, isn't it? Expensive. You know, very expensive. You need to buy lots of things. And you need to give dakshina to priests also. You have to give money. That everything is what not? Everything is dependent on dakshina, the money and expenditure. Nothing can be done without money. Therefore, may you be prudent enough to make money through righteous means. Because you need money, and if you go against dharma, somehow you make money, then again you are not in the right track. Okay? You miss the moksha track, jnanam track, and you are in papa track, therefore this is a wrong thing. So may you make money, may you pursue well, but in conformity with dharma. You may not, okay, I'm very righteous, very clean, so I can't make money, don't give excuses. You have to live a life of dharma. True righteous means you can't afford to remain, no? You have to see, if you search, you always, the means will be available. The way, if you think, there is a way available. Therefore, may you make what now? Wealth. May you have wealth. May you pursue artha, wealth.
Bhutyena pramaditavyam, bhutyena pramaditavyam, swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam, swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam.
Suddenly Upanishad remembers, my God, if I been talking about wealth, immediately comes what now? Swadhyaya. May you not give up, why neglect swadhyaya, study of the scriptures. Because study of the scriptures alone will place you on the track, proper track. Because all the time, somebody should be reminding you of the importance of dharma. May dharmam chara, somebody should be reminding you all the time. Because when you go to the pursuit of wealth, you do not know what will happen to the buddhi. You may get distracted, and we may go against dharma also. Therefore, pursue wealth, but it must be in conformity with dharma. Means how all the time one should be reminded of the value of dharma. Values we know, but who will remind us of the value of values? No, that is why swadhyayaha will help you. What now? To remember the value of values, so that the whole life will be governed by dharma, values. And second thing, pravachanabhyam. And whatever you know, also you share with other people. That's one of the ways you remind yourself of what you know. Is it? Pravachanabhyam. Therefore, may not give up, may not neglect your study of the scriptures and the sharing of your knowledge with other people.
Deva pitru karya bhyam na pramaditavyam. Deva pitru karya bhyam na pramaditavyam.
So to grihastashrama life involves panchamaha yajnas. And for all that you need money. So may you pursue money. Now he says what now? So swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. That sentence emphasizes one has to follow Brahma Yajnaha or Rishi Yajnaha. Study all the scriptures and thereby sharing one's knowledge with others. What now? Brahma Yajnaha or Rishi Yajnaha, which helps you to pay your debts back to our ancestors and teachers, rishis. Okay.
Deva pitru karya bhyam na pramaditavyam. Deva pitru karya bhyam na pramaditavyam.
So deva karyam means what now? Deva yajna, worship of devatas. It has already been mentioned, but a repetition here. I am not repeating. Upanishad repeats, Deva karyat na pramaditavyam. May you not neglect the worship of devatas. That means what? May you not give up the performance of rituals those days. Now it's like it what? May you never ever forget worship of devatas. May you always be worshipful. Being worshipful means may you be thankful. May you express your thankfulness to Bhagavan in the form of devatas through some offering of something. Okay? At least some Thames water which comes through your taps. Offer that. Okay, Bhagavan, toyam. Bhagavan also tells, yo me bhaktya patram pushpam phalam toyam, yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham ashnami. Okay, you accept it. I'm very happy to accept. I don't expect rasamalai and jamun and all those things. At least some leaf, at least some water, at least one flower you can offer. This offering. See, offering means what? May you have proper attitude and thereby be grateful. Being worshipful means being thankful. Please understand, being worshipful means being thankful. Being thankful, acknowledging the contribution of Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena. And how much abundantly they contribute. We cannot give back anything to thank them. But still, so being worshipful. See, being devakaryat na pramaditavyam means may you not, what now, neglect the act of offering the worship. May you be worshipful. Pitru karyat na pramaditavyam. Pitru karya means what? May you not neglect even deva pitru yajna, worship of ancestors. Worshipping ancestors also is of one of the forms of worshipping Bhagavan only. Okay? Worshipping. And that is the only way we can pay our debts back to our own parents. They don't expect you to pay back, but this is because that is how you express your reverence, you know, to your ancestors. Expressing your reverence to ancestors is not for them alone, it is for your well-being, for your expansion of mind. Isn't it? Therefore, it is also worship of Bhagavan only. For pitrukarya, deva pitrukarya bhyam na pramaditavyam.
Deva pitrukarya bhyam na pramaditavyam.
Okay, pitru means, yes, you have understood, pita means father. Pitru karma means ancestral worship. So we have to worship only ancestors. I can ignore the present mother and father. No. After they die, accumulating all the wealth they left behind, and they go to Kashi and the nice, all the relatives and do big show. No. When your parents are alive also, what? No. Invoke Bhagavan in the form of mother. Okay, because the first important person who contributes for the child's emotional well-being is the mother. The most significant person in one's life is mother. And next is father. And next is the teacher. Okay? Because all the three of them contribute not only for the physical well-being and also for emotional maturity, emotional well-being. Isn't it? That's why the very word mata means what now? the one who knows the child through thick and thin. Nowadays you may say, I don't know what my daughter is doing, my son is doing, my God, very difficult. You may say that. But really speaking, that is the vatsalyam, isn't it? Mata means mati iti mata. One who can know, measures thoroughly the child's mind, child's needs, mind. Therefore, matru de, therefore may you, mother is, the association with the mother is very, very, very important for the child, you know, emotional nourishment needs. Therefore, and the mother must have contributed a lot of time, the dedication, energy, everything, for the completely, the child becomes the project for the mother, you know, and then, therefore, all that, then that mother is what? Another than Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not mother, but mother is what now? Mother. One should be able to look upon the mother as Bhagavan. Devata, isn't it? For Matru Devo Bhava.
Matru Devo Bhava.
Don't think Upanishad is making us very emotional. It's not true. It's teaching the appropriate value, attitude. Pitru, what attitude I should have towards my parents? You know? So respect for elders and reverence, respect for mother and father, you know, is very important. Because mother also will be like that to the child, isn't it? The mother should command respect the way she is. In India, that they have to. Here, I don't know.
Matru Devo Bhava, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava.
So may you look up, may you invoke Bhagavan, what no, in your father, the form of your father. That means may you be respectful to your father. May you worshipful to your father. May you have reverence for your father and see father as Bhagavan. See, one who lives dharma, one who sets an example for the child. Now, see, the commitment to dharma and living the lifestyle, the father sets an example for the son and daughter, means, and for him, you know, setting an example that will be helping the child also, what not, to live dharma, then father becomes as good as Bhagavan only. Your Pitru Devo Bhava,
Pitru Devo Bhava,
Acharya Devo Bhava,
Acharya Devo Bhava.
Mother and father play great role for the child as significant people in terms of, you know, contributing for emotional well-being. The next thing, Acharya Devaha Bhava. Even may you see, now even the teacher as Bhagavan. In our culture, we always see the teacher also as what now? Teacher is as good as Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not the teacher, but the teacher is Bhagavan. May you see Bhagavan in teacher. May you see the Lord in teacher, and may you have the reverence towards teacher, because the teacher means here, Acharyaha means the one who teaches the end, shows the one who lives the subject matter of the Shastra. Okay? And one who knows subject matter of the Shastra, one who lives the subject matter of the Shastra, one who communicates subject matter of the Shastra, one who gives vision, and giving vision is the teaching. The teaching is giving vision. The teacher does not have any pressure of making the student believe what the teacher believes. The teacher is effortlessly gives the vision. What the teacher sees, the teacher teaches you. And thereby how? And the giving vision, not only through communication, and also through what now? The non-verbal communication also, the very lifestyle. Therefore, the way Acharyaha, I told you already, the explanation, meaning of the word Acharyaha. I don't want to go to the, repeat the meaning anyway. So, Acharya Devo Bhava, because they absolutely, because teacher is the one who can help the student become 100%, you know, emotionally free. The freedom from emotional dependence is the absolute what now? The emotional well-being. What is the height? How can you say the person is totally healthy? The healthiest person is the one who is emotionally free, independent. The freedom from emotional dependence. Total freedom from emotional dependence is what now? Being, in fact, the absolute health, perfect health. That means being free from emotional dependence implies one reveling in fullness. One reveling in fullness implies one having resolved one's smallness in fullness. Thereby one is emotionally, but one is free from the sense of insecurity, the sense of being insecure, the sense of inadequacy. Therefore, emotional well-being. What is absolute emotional well-being? You say being free from emotional dependence. When you are free from emotional dependence, you are free from sense of insecurity. You are free from sense of inadequacy. For you, fullness, happiness is your swarupam. And that freedom from emotional dependence or emotional independence, isn't it, is possible only if you have the vision of, non-duality of the reality. And the vision of non-duality of reality is what? Given only through teaching communication. And what? Not his own. The subject matter of the Shastram becomes subject matter. What? Vision of the Shastram is the vision of the teacher. The vision of the teacher should become the vision of the student. Okay? So here, the transference of Shastra vision to the student's head, isn't it? Through communication, having the same vision is what now? Alone can bless one with freedom from emotional dependence. And not only that, until one gets that vision also, until the communication becomes effective also, teaching becomes effective also, the teacher is 100% with the students, emotionally, non-judgmentally, confidentially, okay, and the teacher always is there to understand the student's background and appreciate it, to help the student also, the teacher is there, therefore the teacher plays. That's why Mata, Pita, then Guruhu, then Daivam. We say that. Therefore here, therefore teacher also may see the teacher also have reverence for the teacher. Reverence means also Shraddha in the what the teacher says. And Shraddha in the teacher is because what the teacher says is not teacher's own emotional blackmailing some stuff. It is teacher, whatever the teacher speaks is what? Shastram. Okay, therefore, the one who blackmails you emotionally is not the teacher. The teacher cannot have any emotional blackmailing. Okay, I will talk first. Therefore, here, Acharya Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. Interesting thing. Okay, not only the teacher, may you also invoke Bhagavan's grace in the form of Atithihi. That means what? You invoke Bhagavan's grace when you treat your guest properly. How? See the Bhagavan in the form of Atithi. See the Lord in the form of Atithi. And who is Atithi? Tithihi. I think I put last class. Tithihi is the date in Vedic calendar. And Atithihi means one who just peeps in without making any prayer announcement, prayer information about his arrival, is Atithihi. In fact, those days in Vedic times, people in India need to, when they go for pilgrimages to, from one corner to any other corner, from Kanyakumari to Kashmir, Kashmir to Kanyakumari, or anywhere, from anywhere to anywhere, from village to village, town to town, wherever they travel, they used to travel, and when it gets dark, no restaurants, no lodges, no hotels were available, and they have to stay somewhere. Okay, where do they just any doorstep, wherever they feel tired, any house they find, where people are living, the villages, they'll just stop. And they'll go, and there'll be some threshold, always we have outside, Thinnai in Tamil we have, they'll have, and they can go, and they can stay there. And they also won't question, there's no fear, whether I can trust this person or not, no fear, commitment to dharma. That I can whether trust this householder or not, no fear. They can trust, they can just come. They may not go inside, they can rest, relax there. Indian climate is okay, isn't it? They don't need shawls and all those sort of things. Very fresh breeze, cool breeze outside. You can lie down, sleep there. And then whatever you want, you go just immediately. Water, shelter, food. Immediately food will be ready. And you don't need to order for food. Whatever food they have or they can provide you, they will give the best of whatever they have, they can give you. Okay? Suddenly why? Atithihi is Bhagavan here. Because the person would not have planned his earlier thing. I am going to stop in this house. Okay? I am going to stop at this place. And so in front of this house, I am going to go. The person also would not have planned. The guest also would not have planned earlier. And the host also would not have expected. It is very unexpected. Suddenly it happens. Anything which happens unexpectedly, what do we say? God's will. Bhagavan's chittam. Irevan ulla thiruvullam. We say Bhagavan's chittam. When they come, because this happens, therefore Atithi also is what now? No, Bhagavan's will that this person has to stop at this place in front of this house. So he has to become the guest of this house. Therefore what now? Atithi is Bhagavan sent person. It's attitude. Atithi is Bhagavan sent, God sent person. Therefore what now? Let's say when the guest comes, we have Shodasha Upachara. 16 steps are there. How to honor the guest involves 16 steps. Okay? But it's only for Vedic period, not now. Nowadays, it is wrong on our part to visit somebody without informing our arrival there. It's a burden for the host. Now, lifestyle is different. It is not applicable for these days. I'm just talking about those days. Okay. Therefore, but even now, we should have the same attitude towards the Atithi. But we should not be Atithi. We should be Tithis. That means what? We should inform the date and things. And we should ask, it's okay for them to have us there. Isn't it? In India, means it's a big hall. And 10 people come together. What now? We can put some sheets and the mats and we'll all sleep. In this country, you need one bedroom for one person. And you count only 3 bedrooms, you can't have more than 3 people. See, what a life it is. We should have any number of people should be able to walk in. Here we have all problems. No, only one bedroom, so I can only one person. I can't have second person. Oh, lots of problems. Isn't it? Therefore, when people come, we should definitely be welcoming. No? Suddenly, mostly don't come. So, Atithi, then that Bhagavan sent person. Atithi, now have some nice stories like this now. Simple lessons, okay? When you go to Brahmananda, you become very serious. Atithi Devo Bhava. Atithi Devo Bhava. I visualize that Vedic life, how nice it would have been, you know? Okay. Atithi Devo Bhava,
Atithi Devo Bhava.
There's were not known friends. The Atithis who come, not only they do not know the date of the arrival, time of their arrival. You do not even know who those people are. Completely strangers can just end up in front of your house.
Atithi Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava.
Okay.
Yanyanavadyani karmani, tani sevitavyani,
Okay. Yani anavadyani karmani, tani sevitavyani. So may you do only those things which are enjoined by the Shastram, recommended by the Shastram. That means what? Suppose even if you see the teacher or anybody else doing anything who can influence you, but all your things must be in keeping with Shastra's injunction. You have all the right not to follow the teacher if the teacher's teaching is not teaching, the teacher, what the teacher says is not in conformity with Shastra. Understand? Yani anavadyani karmani, whatever has been prescribed in the Shastra, dani sevitavyani, they should not be neglected, ignored, they should be followed.
No itarani,
not other things which are not, which anything which contradicts this Shastram, anything suppose the teacher or elders or anybody else says anything, does anything, and if it doesn't contradict the Shastram, it can be followed. If it contradicts the Shastram, you can just ignore it. So what is important here? The person or the scripture? Scripture. Okay? All that one does must be in keeping with Shastra's teaching, Shastra's vision. Therefore, no individual is given importance. If you follow in any organization also, if the teaching contradicts the head of the, what the head of the institution or organization, the head of the organization or the institution, if anything what he says or what he does contradicts the Shastra teaching, his teaching should not be taken, but only Shastram should be taken. Therefore, the teacher is the one whose teaching does not contradict what the Shastram says. If you give importance for the person, the individual, then it becomes a cult. If all importance given only to the Shastra's vision, then it is teaching, and there is, understand, Bhagavan, Ishvara, the law and order, the dharma is the priority, is the important thing there. No individual is important, isn't it? The individual personality being highlighted, one person, being looked up to, and everything else becomes a cult. Okay? Shastram doesn't accept it. Shastra's vision and Shastra's teaching, anything Shastram enjoins, anything should be followed, anything which is against the Shastram, which contradicts the Shastram, should be ignored. Okay? What should be followed, what should not be followed?
No itarani.
Yanyasmakagam sucharitani,
tani
Tvayopasyani, Tani Tvayopasyani, Asmakagum Sucharitani. Then we also have, see, the Shastra's teaching should be followed. Whatever, how, what my lifestyle should be consisting of, my behavior should be in keeping with the Shastra's teaching completely. And apart from that, we are also supposed to follow our elders, teachers, parents. But what Shastram says here, it is easy, natural for one to become influenced by, politically or manpower wise or money power wise, isn't it? Influential person. Therefore, here, whenever you follow others, their friend or relatives or parents or teachers, whoever you are associating with, because a human being as a social animal, social being, and you had to be with the society, with the people, and it is natural for you will also be influential, you will also be influenced by others. But see, your whole life is highly influenced only by Shastra teaching. That means everybody else whoever is with you also what now? Lives a life in keeping with Shastra teaching. Therefore, you are mutually inspiring, following Shastra teaching as the basis of your life. Understand? Suppose, and then therefore sometimes the Mahatmas who have studied the Shastram and who have understood the Shastram and who lived the Shastram, whose lives became what now? Expression of Shastra's teaching. And those you can follow. But even then, he says what now? If even somebody is a Mahatma, even if a person is Mahatma, anywhere, if anything, that person, what he says, what he does, contradicts the Shastram, then give importance to Shastram, not to that person. You know, I'm not saying anything to not belittle anything, even Buddha. You know, Mahatma, and known for his compassion, known for his dharma, committed dharma. He would inspire so many people in the world, but still he did not accept Veda. Buddha could not become popular in India. He can be popular all over the world. Buddhism did not, So with the due respect to Buddha, give due respect to any Mahatma, anybody. But still, you can disagree with the person if the person is what now? With due respect, you need not follow that person. You can have respect for the person, for whatever the person is. Having respect for the person is different from what? Accepting everything the person says. Have respect for the person, for all that the person, because some mahatmyam, the greatest about the person. Have respect for the person, but to follow Shastram must be your guru. Shastram must be followed. Shastram should be given importance. So such people, Mahatmas, who assimilated the Shastram and who lived the Shastram, what they have understood, and whose lives can be life of inspiration, isn't it? In terms of, not for Jnanam, we have to go Shastram, to only Shastram. But how to live my life? If you know, then you want to follow, you can follow those Mahatmas' biographies. And which do not teach anything which contradicts the Shastram, also can be followed. Yeah. Is it okay? What's time now? Oh, I'm sorry. Therefore, may you follow those things. So you can follow elders, you can follow anybody, you can follow the, in terms of karma, what to do, how to do, how much to do, you can follow others, but see, the individual should not be given importance. You can have respect for every individual, but what you follow must be anything and everything of other person which does not contradict the Shastra teaching. Okay, therefore you can avoid hero worshipping. Okay, therefore, Yanyas, I'm not teaching, Veda says, Yanyasmak gum sucharitani, Yanyasmak gum sucharitani, Tanitvayopasyani, Tanitvayopasyani. No itarani, not others. Other activities, other things should not be followed. Which other things? Anything which contradicts Shastra, Shastra's teaching. So we'll stop. We have a small break and come back.